Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book. The Sense of Wonder, A Celebration of Nature for Parents and Children is a short, reflective nature book associated with Rachel Carson and introduced by Linda J. Lear, first published posthumously from Carson's earlier essay and later reissued in illustrated form. It sits at the intersection of environmental writing, parent guidance, and literary nonfiction. Its central purpose is not to teach children a formal science curriculum, but to show why direct encounters with the natural world matter in early childhood. Carson argues that wonder, attention, and sensory experience are the foundations on which later knowledge can grow. The book is built around intimate observations of coastlines, woods, weather, insects, plants, and ordinary outdoor moments, making it both a personal meditation and a practical reminder for adults. It is especially concerned with the role of parents and caregivers in preserving a child's curiosity instead of replacing it too quickly with explanation or instruction. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, wonder as the starting point for learning. The book's most important idea is that a child's sense of wonder should be protected and encouraged before it is narrowed by facts alone. Carson presents wonder not as a decorative emotion, but as the basis for intellectual and emotional development. Her argument is that children first need to feel the presence of the natural world through curiosity, surprise, and delight. Only after that foundation is formed can knowledge become meaningful and durable. This reverses a common educational tendency to begin with classification and explanation. Instead, Carson suggests that early learning should begin with direct contact, because emotional impressions create the conditions in which later understanding can take root. That makes the book distinct from a standard nature primer. It is less concerned with teaching names and categories than with preserving receptivity. The implication is practical as well as philosophical. Adults who rush to explain every sight or sound may unintentionally reduce a child's motivation to keep exploring. Secondly, the adult companion as a partner in discovery. Carson repeatedly emphasizes that a child does not preserve wonder alone. The presence of at least one attentive adult is essential, not because the adult must instruct constantly, but because shared attention validates the child's experience. This is one of the book's most original and enduring claims. A parent or caregiver becomes a partner who notices, listens, and rediscovers the world alongside the child. That companionship matters because adults often carry the habit of haste, which can turn nature into background scenery. Carson's model asks adults to slow down, observe, and allow the child's questions to lead. The result is a relationship built on mutual discovery rather than one-way teaching. In practical terms, this means a walk, a shoreline visit, or even time in a garden becomes meaningful when the adult is willing to be curious rather than merely knowledgeable. The book therefore links environmental awareness with family life, showing that an adult's attitude can either sustain or dampen a child's lifelong relation to nature. Thirdly, sensory experience over abstract instruction. A major theme of the book is Carson's preference for direct sensory experience over detached explanation. She values what children see, hear, smell, and feel outdoors because sensory contact creates intimacy with the natural world. The book's imagery supports this approach through close attention to waves, moss, insects, moonlight, rain, leaves, and other small but vivid details. Carson's reasoning is not anti-scientific, rather, it is developmental. She believes children should first encounter nature as a living presence before being asked to analyze it abstractly. This matters because early experiences grounded in the senses are memorable and emotionally charged, which helps them endure. The book, therefore, treats observation as a discipline of attention. Instead of forcing large lessons, it encourages noticing the small and ordinary, where wonder often begins. That approach is especially effective for young children, who naturally respond to texture, sound, movement, and pattern. It also gives adults a method for making nature accessible without elaborate preparation or equipment. Fourthly, nature as an everyday environment, not a distant wilderness. The book does not present nature as something remote, pristine, or reserved for special expeditions. Carson finds meaning in ordinary encounters with the natural world, such as a path through woods, insects and grass, a puddle of floating leaves, or the changing mood of the coast. This emphasis broadens the book's relevance because it makes wonder possible in familiar settings, not only in famous landscapes. The practical implication is important for families. Children do not need an idealized wilderness experience to begin developing ecological attention. They need repeated opportunities to notice living things and seasonal change in the environments available to them. Carson's approach also resists the idea that nature has value only when it is dramatic or spectacular. Small observations matter because they teach patience, presence, and respect for complexity. By locating discovery in close-at-hand places, the book helps parents see that everyday surroundings can become a site of education and delight when approached with care and attentiveness. Lastly, a gentle environmental ethic rooted in affection, although the book is quieter than Carson's more famous environmental writing. it still carries a clear ethic: people protect what they have learned to notice and love. The sense of wonder implies that environmental responsibility begins in childhood experience, not only in adult policy or scientific debate. That makes the book an important companion to Carson's broader legacy. Rather than arguing through alarm or confrontation, it builds environmental concern through affection, reverence, and familiarity. This is a different mode of persuasion from many nature books, which either focus on factual identification or on urgent ecological crisis. Carson's method is subtler. She suggests that care grows from repeated contact with living things and from learning that the natural world is full of mystery rather than utility alone. For readers, that means the book offers both a moral and educational framework. If children are allowed to form an intimate relationship with nature, they are more likely to value it later. The book's ethical force lies in that long view. In conclusion, the sense of wonder will be most valuable to parents, caregivers, teachers, environmental educators, and readers who want a concise but thoughtful account of why children need nature in their lives. It is also well-suited to anyone interested in Rachel Carson's wider environmental vision, because it reveals the emotional and educational foundations behind her later public advocacy. Readers looking for a practical guide will find a simple but durable principle: do not separate children from direct experience too quickly. And do not let explanation replace attention. Readers looking for literary value will find Carson's prose especially strong in its restraint, clarity, and sensory precision. What sets this book apart from similar nature education titles is its balance of tenderness and seriousness. It is not a manual, not a scientific field guide, and not an argument driven by alarm. Instead, it offers a compact philosophy of childhood attention and environmental care. That combination makes it unusually lasting. It helps adults understand that wonder is not a trivial feeling, but a foundation for learning, memory, and stewardship. If you would like to support Linda Jailer Rachel L. Carson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.